This episode is brought to you by Smear Cream Cosmetics.
Smear Cream, for the girl who knows what she wants to press all over her face.
Smear Cream, for the woman who has never glittered so much before in her life.
Smear Cream, for every lady.
Now in an edible version and an internal organs version.
Smear Cream, when
your digestive system needs it, you can put it in there too. Smear Cream, don't put it on more than one place on your face, because we only test this on a single human being, and she's not doing the best. She's doing okay. She's about 72%. I'll check in with her. Smear Cream.
Ba-dum-bum.
Good.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Philip.
Hi, I'm Matt.
First, we'll have a little chat.
Then put on our improvers.
Now it's time for Next at Bat.
You're listening to Next at Bat, a podcast devoted primarily to improvisation, where Philip Simondet, the creator of the podcast, and myself, Matt McLeod, the host, interview and then perform with local Minneapolis and St. Paul-based improvisers and other artists. Improvisation is the art of making stuff up. Nothing is scripted. Nothing in improv has been performed before or will be performed again. Short-form improv is game-based and has been popularized by shows like Whose Line Is It Anyway? Long-form improv is story-based, like a play without a script, and this is the type of improv we will perform on this show. After a short interview, our guests will join us for our version of what is known as The Bat, a forum created by Joe Bill, co-founder of the Annoyance Theater. Traditionally, the bat is a specific form that is performed in front of a live audience, but with the lights out, to simulate a radio broadcast. There will be several scenes in our bat, with little or no indication of a new scene occurring, though sound effects and human-made music are often used. Without further ado, let me present Next at Bat with Matt and Philip.
There are edible makeups, right? There are.
Just because you eat them doesn't mean they're edible.
Oh man, I've made a horrible mistake many times over, so I'm gonna have to rethink what I've done.
Why is this makeup so expensive? It only lasts for one meal.
All of my makeup's in the fridge, and I'm like, eyeliner stack.
So we're in the apartment with Shortcake. How are you ladies doing today?
Good.
Would you care to introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Janelle.
I'm Liz.
I'm Mary.
Well, hi guys.
Hi.
And I'm here as always with...
with Philip Simondet and Matt McLeod.
Ah, stop it. Thanks. We're going to have a little interview and then maybe do a little bit of improv today.
Did you plan the questions or are you going to improvise?
I'm going to improvise the shit out of this.
Oh,
so much excitement.
He's going to steamroll us. I know it.
Yeah, that's right. This is a trap. You guys ready for this?
And then Matt's going to perform a bat
by himself.
Exactly. All right. You guys formed not that long ago, right?
No.
All right. So when did you actually form? Because a lot of people think that you've been a group for a while because you're really close friends.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Close friends.
So, but you formed in October?
Mary and I had kind of formed as like a little duo thing.
Yeah.
In the summer.
Okay.
And that's 2012 for the people who are listening to the archives.
Yeah, that's right. Going back to the Next at Bat pantheon.
But then it kind of died out. And then, but I mean, we were still like, you know, we're still friends, so we just didn't practice that much. And then Improvathon came around, and then Janelle entered our lives.
I moved here, needed friends.
I remember when Liz, because Liz was in your class at the student union, and she was like, oh, there's this girl named Janelle in my class. I think you'd really like her. I think you guys would really get along. I really like her. So then we decided to bring Janelle into our... into our hearts and to our minds.
Yeah, and I was
weird
a little bit.
World.
Yeah, I'm the tallest Shortcake.
It's true.
They just barely let me in, I think. But
well, you act like a dick about it. Let's
be it's true. Hey guys, want me to reach that? I'll get it.
So.
top shelf at the supermarket. You're in charge.
Yeah, okay. She's in charge. Yeah. Yeah.
So we did improvathon, mm-hmm. and then we had a lot of fun there. And so we ended up doing. Oh, the Bearded Men asked us to open for them.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so we opened for them for a couple times for the Minneapolis.
Right.
And then we ended up doing an opening set for the Tiny Funny Women Fest with mm-hmm. also with Lady Friends. They did a set after us. And then, yeah.
So how did those opening shows go? Because you didn't have much time to rehearse together before Improvathon, no. right?
Yeah, the Improvathon.
It was a matter
was...
of weeks.
Yeah, I think we had
we
like...
didn't.
No?
Yeah, just don't
no.
do it.
Yeah. But we spend a lot of time together now, right. so that helps a ton. Like, just kind of knowing how everyone is going to react to different things, or we can get a better read on each other, which is good and fun.
For those listening at home, when the ladies arrived today, Liz and Janelle showed up first. But when Mary got here, they actually did group hugs.
Believe it, guys.
It happens every a lot. Time every time we meet.
We meet so. In part.
Yeah.
There's a
yeah.
group hug. I think that's one of the things that makes that I love so much about our group is that we're just so on the same page. Like one of us. I mean, when we're hanging out alone, even one of us will start singing or like just go into a different accent, and the two of us will just kind of follow suit. And so I think that's what makes us work so well together.
Yeah. Improvathon. Wow. That was such a blast doing that, and then going from there and having all these other fun things spill out from it. It's been really cool.
Yeah, and we didn't really have a lot of time to prepare either, because right after our improvathon set, Joe Rapp came up to us and was like, "Hey, do you guys want to open for us tomorrow for Bearded Men?"
Oh, that's great.
And we were like, "What?"
Yeah.
So thanks Bearded Men. Thank you for listening. Yeah, that really, we were so excited about that. Yeah. So, and then it just kind of. Went
taking a chance on some unknown cakes.
Yeah. Rolling the dice.
So I've seen you guys a couple of times, and one of the things that does come through, you know, in every set is how much fun you're having up there. Like no matter what, no matter if the energy's up, if the energy's down, if the like how the crowd's reacting, it doesn't matter. You guys are always having fun. Do you notice that? Like, is that something that carries you through always, or do you talk about that? How's that work?
Oh yeah, we come off and we're like, "That was so much fun." What do you think they thought? I don't know, but it was so much fun. So you get into this kind of like just fun trance where it's just all games, and mm-hmm. you know, you're just up there with your best friends having fun and just like tossing ideas around, and they're totally on board and pick it up and go with you and. Yeah, it's a blast.
Yeah, we just have fun when we hang out. You might have noticed. Lots of giggles and hugs. And so I think sometimes we're on a stage doing it, and sometimes we're just sitting around and just having fun and making stupid voices together and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think we just kind of talked about, like, there have been a couple sets where we're like, oh, I don't know how that went, but at least we had, like, we know that if there isn't a ton of laughter, it doesn't mean that the audience isn't engaged, and we still had fun too, you know. So it's just we felt good about, I think, like every performance we've done, just because we've had fun, which is the important thing, you know. So
right, Philip and I were actually talking about that recently. We were talking about the difference between, you know, funny and engaging. Like it doesn't have to be funny to be really entertaining. Do you guys want to speak to that a little bit? Do you feel that also?
Well, personally, I get super like serious and dramatic sometimes, mm-hmm. Especially when I watched all of Friday Night Lights, and then everything I did was like really like I'm pregnant. but yeah, so I think that kind of the balance that we have in our personalities helps break that out. Yes. I definitely agree that it doesn't have to be funny to be engaging. But, you know, it's hard to remember that when you're on stage,
mm-hmm.
When the only feedback you get from the audience is their laughter. Yeah. And if you, you know, or sometimes you'll get the aws, and that's always nice.
Yeah. An earned aw or a ooh. Yeah. Sometimes feels pretty good, too.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and sometimes you can feel that too, like when you can like feel when the audience is super like engaged in a character's relationship or like how a character is acting. And so that's why, yeah, I guess when I'm watching some scenes too, like, yeah, of course sometimes I'm laughing till I'm crying, but sometimes I'm not, you know, I'm just watching and it doesn't mean I don't think it's a good scene or even that it's not funny, like right. It's just yeah, so I think definitely it doesn't have to be super funny to be engaging.
No. Mm-mm. Just strong relationships and you're really invested in those characters and you feel other people getting invested in them too. That is a nice feeling. It's different than the funniness, but still rewarding. So it's good.
Do you think it's easier that, you know, since you guys are such good friends, to find those good relationships on stage? Or do you think that it's just since you're good improvisers that it's easier to do that?
Oh, it's hard to separate.
So good and such friends.
Well, I think because we all like each other, it's easier to stay away from those the conflicty, you know, argumentative relationships. So we can build more interesting relationships out of two people who love each other, two people who want to be friends but can't be friends for some reason, or. You know, we don't have to find conflict in I hate you while I hate you too.
Those conflict scenes do get pretty tedious, but they can also liven things up too. Do you find that when you do conflict scenes,
poop jokes.
We love the poop jokes.
I'm glad you pointed that out.
Everyone,
I saw you giggle.
We know the entire internet was thinking that.
So, what? I can't take you seriously anymore.
That's okay.
When it comes to conflict scenes, I guess, and I was just thinking about this recently, like it's, I think conflict can keep a scene definitely interesting, but at a certain point, someone's going to have to fold. I think that's really what makes it interesting is like someone who, because if it's just like, I think this way, and 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 you both are so set in your ways for the entire scene that nothing progresses and nothing happens, I think, and it's like in real life too, like, well, one of you is, if you want to keep this relationship, whatever it be,
someone has to lose.
Yeah, someone has to fold, you know? Yeah.
And I think it's not necessarily that we don't do scenes with conflicts. It's like you can have a scene where the conflict is that simple, is, you know, like, I think this, I don't think that. Mm-hmm. Or you can have a scene where it's like, you know, I want this for you, well, I want this for me, you know? And then it's, there's a conflict there, but you can reach an understanding about it, and it's not just this divide, you know?
Yeah, I like what you said, though, about, like, conflict coming in to liven things up. And I think that's something, too, that's one of the things we talk about a lot is, like, the variation between each of our scenes and trying to keep things fresh and find the new parts of relationships. Because I think a lot of times, I know for myself, I worry about, like, doing the same things over and over again. So what is it that's different about these characters and their particular situation on this particular day? Like, why this moment kind of thing? So just keeping those things at the forefront of our minds and just helps a lot. Yeah. Especially when you enter those conflict scenes. It's like, okay, well, what's going to happen now?
Yeah. Why this conflict? Why right now? Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. Yeah.
I definitely remember a couple scenes where we agreed so much we got nowhere because we were like,
it does.
Like, I like you. I like you too. Okay, hug.
Let's stand here now.
I hope somebody sweeps.
Also, a lot, if you guys listening have seen any of our sets, a lot of them end in group hugs. Like,
they
more
do.
Than. More than often than not, I would say we had
the only
hug.
Conflict scene that I can actually think of ended in a group hug. Because when so Mary and I were like two bitchy girls, and Janelle wanted to be our friend. So real life.
Gosh, guys, let me in, please.
Yeah, we know you're taller.
Yeah, and then at the very end, Mary's like, actually, I like you. Or no, it was like, I have insecurity.
I have something to tell you. Yeah.
And then we had a group hug, and that was that conflict scene.
Yeah.
I always feel like when I'm not quite sure where to go in a scene, I come up with a confession. Like, I'm like, I have something to say.
Yeah. I always do.
It's like a 90210 moment.
Do that.
Yeah. 90210, yeah, exactly.
So how do you think that you guys have progressed? Like, have you noticed working together has gotten easier on stage? And how so? Like, what would you say has gotten better?
Well, I don't want to be the first one to talk.
You've performed a lot since you started.
Yeah.
I think we're in kind of a dead space.
I think a lot of it has been just editing has become a lot easier for me. Like knowing when the scene is done, like when they've reached a point, and working on like third person entrances and stuff like that, just kind of gelling together more as like, how are we when three people are up on a stage or when two, and just getting more comfortable with taking scenes further instead of just talking about doing things, actually doing them in that moment instead of just being like, oh, this is great and hypothetical. But so I think we're becoming more adventurous in the improv that we do just based on, because I mean, we build up more trust and we spend more time together. We're comfortable like being like, hey, everyone's going to be on board. We're going to go. This is going to happen. So that's definitely been a part that I've seen getting better as we've gone on.
Yeah, definitely. I would say since we have built up that level of trust, it's kind of that feeling of like, well, I'm going to try this. Mm-hmm. And like knowing that no matter what crazy stuff we do, like what one of us will always like come up with a
It's definitely our confidence has gone up a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it is confidence in each other and that we're going to support each other or a confidence in that, you know, what we're doing is entertaining somehow or I don't know, but we just generally I think are a lot more confident on stage with what we do and dancing. We dance a lot
on stage.
Yeah, we do, and off.
That's kind of how we warm up. We just dance and move around and shout things into the air. It's good.
I think that you figuring out the warm-ups that work for you is really important for a group because I guess for an improviser period, because I hate like doing just decorations and three-line scenes and stuff. And when I first started doing improv, that's all like anybody wanted to do during warm-ups, and it just didn't work for me, and it made me feel really self-conscious and like in my head.
Me too, actually.
Yeah. And now we just spin around.
We spin around the room and do five things.
Yeah,
and it's just really goofy and wacky. A lot of times our warm-ups turn into just like check-ins with each other as we spin. We're like, well, so what did you do today? Anything fun? Did you see something cool on the side of the road? And then we talk about it. So it's nice to have that open, safe space.
Guess what roadkill I saw today?
Sometimes I see objects and want to talk about them, guys.
That's so sweet. I saw this raccoon, it was over.
Scientifically, the centrifugal force pushes all of your emotions out to the surface.
It's true. I like to think of it as physics for the win. All of my thoughts get thrown out of my brain.
Yeah.
It's like, really helpful.
Because I just am so just in my head all the time. And so like just spinning and to be able to focus on one physical thing is really, really nice.
Yeah. I think better when I move too. That's why like even on stage, like trying to use more of the stage and move around helps me a lot. Like just kind of having that. Because I don't know, you're just reacting to the space around you and kind of your, I don't know, you don't censor what you're going to say as much. You're more willing, I think, to take leaps in what you're going to talk about or do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think just the spinning and moving around just kind of gets you out of your head because you're not even thinking about like, oh, what am I going to say?
I get on stage and then I'm like, I have to do improv now. Like, you just try not to think about it. And then I'm like, oh no. What am I going to say?
We actually script all of our performances.
So. Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's a lot of memorizing.
That takes the pressure off.
That was a big change when we decided to just write out scripts.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty tough.
So being that you guys are such good friends, do you find that was it difficult to reach a level of trust on stage, or was it easy to reach a level of trust on stage? I mean, that like level of trust where you can really, go somewhere with each other and know that the other person's going to get your back on stage no matter what.
I think it all kind of evolved together, like our friendship and our improvising, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I remember because I had been in classes with Liz, so I knew Liz and I'd met Mary a few times. We had never improvised together. And I think the first time that we improvised together as a group, you guys, was that the night you came over to my apartment? And we had 30 minutes because we were going to be doing improvathon. We were like, maybe we should at least, improvise together once. That should be good. And Oh, I don't know. I remember we did really wacky, kooky scenes, and Mary was right on board right there with it. I was like, oh, cool, all right, well, this is going to be great. So I think, yeah, I mean, I think being friends definitely helps. And I think you're right, Liz. Like, I think our friendship has strengthened as we've become, you know, a stronger improv team, too. It's been, they've gone parallel with one another, which has been cool to experience. So thanks, guys. Oh, thanks for being my friend.
Shoot, group hug.
Oh, gosh. Take a step back.
I mean, I think that, too, like, as we've kind of gained that trust with each other, we've been more open after shows, too, just to kind of talk about, like, okay, what, I mean, it's never like, we did this so terribly, but it's like, well, I mean, that probably didn't go super great, so what can we do next time? And I think it's just, like, being able to be open and kind of trusting that, like, we can say that stuff and it's not, I think sometimes with improv, like, when you would do constructive criticism or you get a critique, it feels so personal because it's like, so a lot of the scenes, like, I know for me, a lot of the scenes is like an extension of me, like,
unfiltered artistic expression, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, so it's nice to be
very intellectual.
So impressed.
Okay, well, no, I think that, yeah, I don't know what else I was going to say.
Are the compliments also as personal, or do you shrug them off?
The compliments?
Yeah.
Like, if someone says, oh, you guys did...
I think it's always easier to shrug off compliments.
Yeah.
Because our brains are always like, that's not right. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that person.
Yeah. Especially with your good friends, because you're like, I mean, you know, not that I don't believe the good things that you guys say, but it's always like, oh, well, they're, you know, they don't want
they
me to
have
feel
to
bad.
Say that.
But I was going to say, I think that part of it, too, is the type of friendship we have. Not just that we're really close, but that we're all really, like, open people. Like, we talk about everything together. Mm-hmm. It's like, so, are you regular today? It's like,
yeah, that's a topic of conversation quite often.
I mean, yeah.
But we're open to that, so.
And it's hard to find people in general that you can just be that open with and just tell them everything. And, like, so I think that translates on stage that we know each other's bodies.
Yeah, we hope that comes across to the audiences, too, when we perform.
We knew each other in the biblical sense.
So about the dancing. No.
All right, what do you guys want to talk about what you're going to be doing soon? Improvathon, or I'm sorry, Twin Cities Improv Festival, whatever else is coming up?
Yeah, well, we've got the Twin Cities Improv Festival, which we're super excited about, in June. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I mean, we're...
Yeah, we are kind of open, so if anybody's looking...
We're for hire.
We are for hire.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so many places to perform, and it's like, there's a lot of groups. So we had our turn, now we're just kind of waiting for our...
Yeah.
For our next thing.
Yeah, but working on stuff. Like, we're trying to be, like, do more rehearsals and start up fun things on the side.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that'll be a good time.
Yeah, and we're kind of trying to work out something with Sensitive Men and maybe some other groups who anybody's interested in doing just like a thing so we can perform, just like a little showcase at the Bryant Lake Bowl or whatever. But, I mean...
Yeah, we signed up for GoGo, too.
Oh, yeah.
So we put our name in for that. So, yeah, just kind of keeping our feelers out there for opportunities. But, yeah, we're really excited about the... Twin Cities Improv Festival.
Yeah.
That'll be a lot of fun.
And we got to hop in with OMG before we got our lady bits the other night.
Right.
And so fun stuff like that. We just, we love it. It's been good.
I love that show.
It was so fun.
Yeah, it was excellent.
A lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You guys ready to do a little improv here?
Yeah.
Yes.
We didn't even
spin.
What's
going to
happen?
Oh, man.
Next up,
could you pass me the bran muffins, please?
Here's one.
Thank
here's
you.
One.
Thank you. I'm not regular. I'm sorry. Oh, was that too much information?
No.
He said pass the bran muffins, not bran muffin.
Well, I think that Dylan's had enough bran muffins for the moment.
Nope. I am not regular. I do not think that one bran muffin is going to unclog this tube.
Please don't talk about your tubes at the table.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that too much information?
It is. When we establish...
There is not nearly enough stink coming from my roommate's toilet.
I haven't been keeping up my end of the bargain of destroying the bathroom.
Why is that even a part of the bargain? I never should have moved in with you guys. This was the worst decision I've ever made. You guys take shits like Captain Planet. I'd imagine he takes big shits.
Yeah. Well, not this morning. I'm not living up to my end of the bargain this morning. Yeah, That's why I need these bran muffins, and I need at least three of them.
Do you know what I've been putting in your bran muffins?
What have you been putting in my bran muffins?
Chalk.
Chalk?
Stops you right up.
That makes you constipated.
Makes you really constipated.
I did not know that about chalk, but that is terrible.
It's the only thing I could do. You guys are stinking up the entire place, and I don't know. Until I can move out of here, that's just what's going to have to happen.
But why? No more poops. Why would you do that to us without telling us first?
I didn't think you guys would stop pooping if I didn't take it into my own hands.
You didn't think that you would try speaking with us first?
No, I'm not a good communicator, guys. You know this.
I don't know why either of you are surprised. I clearly put on the Craigslist ad that I am going to destroy the bathroom every morning. And I want you to smell it.
It should have been a red flag, I know.
I don't know why you're upset about it now. You knew this going in.
Thought maybe I could change things. Thought maybe I could change more things than just your pooping patterns, too. Like, maybe make this a happy home. We could be a family. I've never had a family before. Thought maybe this could be it.
You can't just change people like that, Jasmine. You have to accept people the way they are. You can't plug up their bowels with chalk.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, cave-ins for crazy people, but we're sure gonna do it.
You're the best friend I could have ever asked for. Thank you for taking me to do this on my birthday.
Oh, gosh. Well, I know how much you like caves. I thought, hey, what's better than now to go right into the middle of the depths of one?
What do you think we're going to find down there? What am I saying? Let's just jump in and see what happens.
Just go for it. That's what best friends do. Best friends.
One, two, three.
Oh, gosh, I'm so glad we took that repelling course.
Who has entered my lair?
Oh, shit.
What are these things in my territory?
My name is Janice.
Don't mind my wings.
They're hitting me in the face.
Well, you shouldn't have jumped into my wing cave.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. We're just exploring.
Yeah, it's my 25th birthday, and my name is Sarah, and
think that makes you special? I am 1,033 years old.
Whoa.
I don't celebrate birthdays anymore, for I am eternal.
Oh, that sounds horrible, though.
Fuck you.
Oh, come on now. Have a heart there, lizard wing person.
How dare you come into my cave exploring without even knocking and then tell me that my lifestyle is horrible?
We didn't know you lived here. We just were looking for a good time.
Did you ever think you might ask? You could have shouted down into the cave. I would have said, come in.
I'm so sorry.
Hey, lizard lady, do you mind if I come down into your cave?
I have visitors now who rudely entered already, and I only have two chaise lounges to sit on.
But I really wanted to come down and give you some new tea.
How do they know to do that?
Is it honest tea?
Yes.
Was there a sign up there?
I didn't see anything.
Lower it. I'll send my wing up.
Quick, Janice, take one of the chaise lounges and sit down. Oh, they can't sit.
Got it.
Oh, no. You sat in my chaise lounges and now I must treat you with hospitality. Would you like some water or honest tea?
I'll take honest tea.
Yeah, is it the lemon flavor? She's diabetic. If it has low sugar.
Do you need your insulin? Are you okay?
We don't believe in no sugar in this game.
No, it's fine. I had a hit of insulin before.
You did. I saw you. I got your back, friend. Maybe lizard friend. We can teach you what real friendship is.
Hey, lizard friend, do you need any insulin while I'm up here?
No. Let her die.
Okay.
I just said I would be fine. I just had some before.
Wait, send it down and I'll force it into her.
Sure.
Why are you so angry at the world?
Yes, what happened to you? I mean, did someone come down here before and then leave without saying goodbye?
Yes. It was my lizard father.
No.
No, what?
Back when I was a wee hatchling lizard.
No.
Yes. I've never told anyone because most people asked to come in, and I denied them, but you entered and sat upon the chaise lounges of hospitality, and now I feel compelled to bond with you.
Well, we will let you into our hearts.
Our minds, our souls. Friend.
Yes, all of the above.
I've never experienced a group hug before.
Well, you will now.
You will now.
Welcome to the AM side.
We're like here or whatever.
Thanks for coming. Nobody ever does.
I had nothing better to do since I'm not really getting paid to be here anymore.
I'm new and I'm excited to be here. Thank you for, okay. Yeah.
I was excited when I first got here too, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, today on a program of eggs, do you like them sunny side up or scrambled? We have our first guest.
Yes.
Nancy.
Go ahead, call her.
Eggs, do you like them?
It doesn't matter to me because they just really don't have any flavor no matter what.
What? I love eggs.
Hi, first time caller, long time listener.
Really?
Your only listener.
That's great. That's good.
That's amazing.
I just sad. I don't
I
want
to disagree with the statement that eggs have no flavor.
Why would you disagree with me?
But I guess I understand. And I like them sunny side up. Thanks, guys. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Thanks, caller.
Thank you.
That was good.
Thank you. That was really nice.
There's a lot of excitement to be had in eggs.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of excitement to be had in AM radio.
Oh, thanks for letting us know. It looks like we have another call.
Thanks!
Oh, that's just uncalled for.
Fuck you!
That sounds like Bimp Lizkid.
Yeah.
Oh, she always calls. And says horrible, hateful
things.
She's
the scourge of the AM dial.
Yeah.
She's always calling in and ruining things.
You know, back when I was on the FM side.
What? You were on the FM side and you came over here?
A little bit I was. Guys, we can make this AM side more like the FM side.
How do we even begin to... No. Oh, looks like we have another call.
Yeah, okay. We have another call.
Do you know that AM stands for Ass Monkey? Hey, all about the nookie!
Hey, it's Awesome Monkey, dickweed, all right? Okay, see, that's what... You guys, you just got to stand up for yourselves, okay?
I don't even know how to begin to do that.
Yeah, you just...
I don't really know how to...
We'll just
come on, well, first start
it.
With, you know, like, speeding up how you talk or something.
Okay. What?
Like, you talk... Okay, let's practice. Okay. Say...
Right.
Go for the goal. Just say that.
Okay.
Go for the goal.
Okay, that's...
No, I'll try it.
Okay.
Go for the gold.
Okay.
That was really good.
I don't mean to belittle you, Stu, but it could be better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, just think about volume. Think in terms of volume and like just really, just think of like getting really amped up about something. Like you're ready to just take everything on and you feel like you're just going to explode. And then at that moment, that's when you yell.
I get really amped up about eggs.
Yeah.
That's why I made this program.
That's great. Tell us, how do eggs make you feel?
Eggs make me feel like I'm sitting on a cloud.
It's
raining scrambled eggs with cheese, and they're my best friends, and they're surrounding me and all
everywhere.
Around me, and I just love eggs so much.
Oh,
and
gratis,
I feel
yeah.
like if we're this passionate about
eggs,
then maybe people will really listen to this radio program.
Right?
You guys, I'm totally on board with the new girl,
that's
Nancy,
really
over here.
See?
Yes.
We can do it.
Let's do it.
We're
never
bringing...
seen this side of you.
No, I haven't either.
I'm just... I love eggs.
You feel the energy?
Oh, wait, it looks like we have another call. I forgot we were still on the air.
Yeah.
new
we'll take the call. Caller. Hey, I just want to say that it's really inspiring. And eggs are like bird fetuses. What? Fuck you!
Okay.
What?
You know what? You're going to have people who try to get you down. Just know that eggs are always here and around you. Believe that. Believe in your program.
They are.
Well, what can
I
you
believe.
Do for us?
Yeah, we're not that passionate about eggs.
There's a lot of things that we don't like.
Well, what are you passionate about?
Gerbils.
Gerbils. Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, they're just so cute.
Super cute.
And just like, it's like you can fit one in your hand and it'll love you back and you can love it. And it's just like just like a ball of love. It's just like, oh my God, you guys.
It is.
This is really exciting. Yeah. You can't really get you're passionate about something.
Yeah.
It's really fun. Gerbils. Fuck yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
It's okay. It's all right.
It's AM radio. No one is listening anyway.
You just totally did it.
I did it, man. Yeah. I have passion now. This is
come
great.
On, Stu. Nice you can do it, Stu. Come on, Stu.
Find it within you. Just find it.
Passionate about Stu?
I don't know, guys. I don't know that I'm passionate about anything.
What is your gerbil? What's your egg, man?
Boy, I just don't really have anything. There's nothing
sure
in
you
my
do,
life.
Stu.
Of course you do, Stu.
Everyone's got some. Everyone has something.
But not me.
No,
I mean, I'm
you
a,
do.
I'm a nobody.
Don't say that, Stu. It's that kind of thinking that makes you feel like you have nothing to talk about or be passionate in.
But I don't. That's why I'm on the AM side.
Oh, it looks like we have another call.
Let's let Stu take it.
Okay, go ahead, caller.
Yes, hello? Yeah. Hello, is this Stu?
Yeah, it's Stu.
Stu, I just wanted to say that I love you.
What?
Okay, I've been a long-time listener, and I think your voice is soothing.
What?
And if you need something to be passionate about, I would like it to be me.
Oh, my.
What do you say?
Okay. I can do that.
Really?
Yeah.
By the way, my name's Barbara. Didn't say that when I first picked up the call.
So, Barbara.
Dude,
you could be
passionate
about Barbara.
I could be passionate about Barbara.
Yeah, you could totally be passionate about me. I cook, and I am an empowered woman, and I know how to ride a tricycle.
Okay, just look into the mirror and say it. Just say it. Say it. Say,
I am a star.
Good. That was good. You did a great job.
Do you think that it'll actually come true?
I think if you say it every day, maybe.
Well, you're the fortune teller. You should know.
All right. Well, give me your hand again. Okay. All right. Your name is... You're Dylan.
Yeah.
Dylan Farrago. I see your parents.
Uh-huh.
And they're saying, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, little Dylan is a star. He's going to be a star. He should probably continue with his crocheting. Do you crochet? I'm seeing a lot of crocheting.
Not yet, but I could.
You should pick it up.
I
see far into the future.
I only have one arm.
Can you put both hands, one hand on it? Can you raise them, please?
Right here.
Oh, man, I'm so... Okay. That, you know what? I'm seeing the future farther. You're going to grow a new limb. In my vision,
oh my God.
Is there. You are whole
all
in
right,
physical
Dylan,
body.
All right, Dylan, we applied the microbes to your... Which is going to grow into a new arm for you.
It's really going to happen?
We developed the technology, finally. You should see all those mice with extra arms growing out of them. It's crazy. Are you ready for this?
Wait, doctor. Doctor, before
what?
You do
what?
This.
No.
No.
Okay. I'm sorry, but I just came from seeing The Amazing Spider-Man, and they did this, and it turned out really, really terribly.
The musical?
I'm sorry. No, that Spider-Man turned off the dark.
That did turn off terribly.
Listen to you. Know your pop culture references,
I'm
doctor.
I'm sorry. I'm not a stupid
okay.
nurse.
God, all right, I'm out of here. I just needed to say that. This is going to go badly. Okay, all right. Now that the stupid woman nurse is gone.
Do you call her?
I'm losing it. Oh, I'm so sorry. I get really excited about arm transplants and stupid women.
Since you called her a woman nurse, is she technically a worse?
You're worse for saying that.
Oh.
You're worse than 99% of the population. I don't even know if I want to give you a new arm now. Yeah.
So I see you are back.
Yeah.
Still with a single arm.
Just an arm.
My visions have, they've changed a bit since you were gone. I probably should have gotten in touch with you.
I made a stupid joke and the doctor wouldn't give me a new arm.
I should have warned you about that. I should have seen it coming quicker than I did, and yet I only saw it after you told me about it.
It's horrible.
It's maybe time for me to rethink my position here as fortune teller, but I have faith in you.
Do you?
I do.
Do you still think I have ability to crochet?
I think you do. I've seen crazier things happen. For instance, pugs falling from the sky. That once happened. I didn't know it would, but it did. One landed on my face. And today, that pug is with me still. I call him Gerald, and he is my best and only friend. The life of a fortune. Gerald. Oh, Gerald. Chip, chip, chipperoo. Chip, chip, chipperoo. Chip, chip, chipperoo. We communicate on a level that is, it exceeds my ability to communicate with other human beings. It's a sad life I live, and every time I tried to peer into the crystal ball for myself, I couldn't see anything but a dark, dark cave.
Madam Fortuna, I have to talk to you. You're losing a lot of clients because your prophecies and fortune telling, you just devolve into talking about yourself and your own future, and it's making everybody uncomfortable.
I know. It makes me uncomfortable. Do you know how much it makes me uncomfortable?
Oh, my God. Now you're just going to talk about yourself again,
aren't you?
When
I sit down in a chair, I can't even breathe right because I'm so uncomfortable with how I'm sitting in a chair.
Wow.
And how I'm being a person, not being a person. I'm not a person.
It must be really hard for you to look into that crystal ball and see yourself staring back at you.
All I see is me in fourth grade getting hit by dodgeballs. Repeatedly.
That's not the future.
That's the past.
That's the past. Stop living in the past, Madam Fortuna.
Oh my gosh. I will try. I don't know what else I can do.
You need to go see a therapist and self-actualize.
So, Miss Fortuna, what exactly do you want to get out of our therapy sessions?
I would like to learn how to talk to people better. Mm-hmm. And maybe I was told I live in my past.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. Do you want to hear about it? There was this one time that I was crawling on my knees. I was at a birthday party, and it was an obstacle course birthday party. And there was a parent behind me shouting, "Go, go, faster, your team is losing." And I was going through these tunnels, these plastic tunnels, like a hamster. And the whole time, all I thought was, "Oh my God, they've turned me into a hamster. I'm a hamster of a human being, not even real." And that's the thing I've carried in my heart for all of my life, and it's never gone away. And it just, when I eat cereal in the morning, they taste like gerbil hamster chips.
Interesting.
Yeah. Big wheels keep on turning. Proud Mary keeps on burning.
Rolling, rolling, rolling on the river.
This is the steepest hill I've ever been on. Why?
Well, you gotta keep pushing that boulder up. It's your life sentence.
I regret a lot of things in this life, and getting here on this hill with a boulder on account of my hitting a person in the face with my fist, that's a regret that I have.
Hey, Sisyphus, do you mind holding this towel for me for a second?
Sure.
Sisyphus, what if I push the boulder with you?
That's the kindest. Nobody's ever offered that before.
Sisyphus, I did.
Shut up.
Okay, who is this?
Shut up, Peter.
Who is this guy, and why did he have a towel and ask you to hold it?
I don't know. He just comes every day and asks me if I'll hold things for him. And every day I say, sure, Peter, I'll hold this.
Oh, this is Peter.
This
okay.
is Peter.
I'm sorry.
I told you about him. Yeah, yeah,
I'm just sorry, Peter.
No, it's fine. I mean, people don't remember me very well.
I don't. I hardly do.
This Hades, sorry, chiming in here. Okay. You guys, you should probably continue with the eternal torment and punishment.
Sorry, Hades.
Yep, you get back into the lake of boiling water, and Sisyphus, where's the boulder? It's at the bottom of the hill.
It's because he held my towel.
You're such a dick, Peter.
Every day, he tricks me.
Well, what if we all just tried together to push the boulder up.
That's not the point. And the point is that you get punished. He hit somebody in the face. It was an old lady. She wasn't looking. He sucker punched a woman's face.
I blindsided her, it's true. And I have to live with that every day. I actually see her face in these crevices of the boulder as I push it up the hill.
I carved them there.
It was horrible, Hades.
So when you push it, boom, there's her face.
See
and guess what?
Time.
It's in the expression of pain that she felt. When you punched her.
I hit her face.
So how do you want to help this asshole now?
I mean, I guess I thought you punched someone who deserved it. I didn't know it was an old woman. I kind of am rethinking. I think I just need some time to think about what I want to do next.
So, Sisyphus, I think it's good that you finally came to see a psychologist. But do you know why you wanted to punch that old woman?
Oh, geez, Bert. I think I had a lot of pent up anger over the years. A lot of rivalries.
But why her? Why her?
Gosh, I mean, I didn't like the way she walked.
Okay.
Everything she did just kind of annoyed me. She had this little strut.
Okay. And I was like she was better than you?
Flashback.
Excuse me, sir. You dropped a towel.
Oh, bam! Yeah, and that was just, it happened that fast. She wanted me to pick something up, and I don't know, I just had a really rough day at work.
So it's not like she cut you off or took a spot in the grocery store that you were waiting for or anything like that?
No, she was actually probably, yeah, I think she was probably a pretty good person. Maybe we could have been friends had I not been in that frame of mind on that day.
Oh, okay. So now that you're rolling that boulder daily.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Like, I wish I could take that punch back from that lady. I feel like rolling a boulder up a hill for all eternity is pretty steep punishment. I will say that. I'm actually pretty livid about my circumstances right now because all I really did was hit a lady with my fist. And geez Louise, you know, if someone would just send me to her front door to apologize.
Yeah, well, Sisyphus, did you ever apologize?
No, I did not.
And why not?
Well, Bert, I was raised in a family.
Sisyphus, were you maybe not hitting an old lady, but were you hitting yourself? Were you hitting young Sisyphus?
Young Sisyphus? Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I did. I saw my face in her eyes as a child and what my grandmother would do for me when I was a child. And oh, my gosh. I was so horrible to small animals. I set ants on fire a lot. I stepped on a bunny once on purpose.
Oh,
a baby bunny was in the woods and it came out to greet me and it nuzzled my shoe and I stomped on its face and I don't know why.
That's okay. Next time you're rolling the boulder, I want you to look. You know when Hades carved the old woman's face in there?
Yeah.
I bet it's actually your face.
I'm facing my face every day.
Every day.
Every day. So much of that boulder is me. I'm the boulder.
You're the boulder.
I'm rolling myself up a hill.
It's true. But you know what? You're becoming a better you.
Am I?
Yeah.
A better me. A better Sisyphus.
And you need a hug. I see a Sisyphus that needs a hug.
All right, I'll take.
Hey, sorry, Hades. I was listening in, and that was really brave. That's really brave, Sisyphus.
Thanks, Hades.
I would like to be part of this hug, if that's okay with you. I mean, you're gonna go back to rolling the boulder tomorrow.
No, I think that's good. What do you think, Sisyphus?
You know what I do? I also think it's good. I think the more I come to terms with this boulder and this weight being brought on by myself, the more healthy I can be as a person, as a Sisyphus. I'm a better Sisyphus for it.
Yeah.
You know, once you get that boulder to the top of the hill, that's self-actualization, and you're done.
And you know, Sisyphus, pretty soon you might come to stop hating Hades and maybe realize that Hades helped Sisyphus to become who Sisyphus is.
Yeah,
I do my part.
Hades just trying to build me up. I get that now.
Yeah. Bring it in, Sisyphus.
All right.
Bring it in.
I'm sorry, Hades. It's been a long time since we did this. It's okay.
See, now, this
feels better.
This is what growing is.
Yeah.
Vladimir, come look. I carved the house out of this boulder. Come. We are going to live here.
Oh, really?
Forever. Oh, yes. Just you and me, Vladimir. Finally, forever, we escaped the USSR. And here we are, in my boulder house.
That was so smart of you to build a house out of a boulder.
Oh, thank you, Vladimir. I appreciate how you build me up. You build me up like I build boulder. Like I build boulder house.
You are so smart.
I'm glad that we got chained together in the work camps of the USSR.
Me too.
You may not say much more than agreeing with me, but I like that quality in you.
I like all qualities in you.
Is the problem that you don't know much English?
Yes.
Oh, no. Why? Oh, we should speak in mother tongue, but I forgot it all.
So it seems the problem with the Russians today is that they are all agreeing with everything because they have the lack of English. Could you speak about that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's a problem that we've been noticing more and more as we've studied them. Right. It's actually quite scientific what we're doing. We have a few control groups that are going right now that speak other languages besides Russian.
They're allowed to remember Russian.
Yes. Yes. Oh, so sorry. Back sorry. To the side. I'm sorry. Sorry.
My partner is broken. I need to slap her in the back of the face.
Are you Russian, ma'am?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. You broke her again.
Sometimes my train of thought is a problem, but I'm back on track. So back to the Russians. We've noticed that they are always in agreement with one another because of their lack of English knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel that perhaps English could be the thing that... maybe could help people come to terms with certain disagreements in their lives.
Okay.
But we're not quite sure. It's only worked on Russians.
Well, it's because I believe that English and capitalism are so intertwined that Russians just don't take to it very well. Isn't that true?
The Russians always agree because of communism.
Right.
And it turns out that English is the root of all arguments.
That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me.
That's the theory that we're
working on. Is that true, Doctor?
This apple, $5. Yes? $5.
Yeah, we brought in some specimens.
Oh.
This apple, you buy $5.
Yes, I will buy this apple for $5.
Notice the agreement.
Yes, oh, wow. The nodding of the head.
Mm-hmm. Two apple.
Now,
$15.
Let's see what...
Yes, that is better. I will buy two apple for $15.
Let's see what happens when sex is brought into the equation.
Let's go for it.
One sex. $200.
That sounds very nice to have one sex with you. I will buy.
Yes, yeah. See, they...
Mouth sex, $50.
Now, you'll notice the irony that they're practicing capitalism... But they're still agreeing as if they're communists.
Vaginal sex.
Vaginal.
Next up, Pat!
And that's our show. Special thanks to Mary Mangan, Liz Losey, and Janelle Blaisdell. Thank you, Shortcakes. We had a real good time with you and we'd love to do it again sometime. You can check out what the Shortcakes are up to these days on www.facebook.com/shortcakesimprov. And you know they're going to be up at the Twin Cities Improv Festival. You can learn more about them and other local and national acts at www.twincitiesimprovfestival.com. You can check me out coming up soon at Huge Theater on 31st and Lindale in Uptown Minneapolis. And I'll be up on Wednesday nights in April and May with A Night Out. And that's featuring Joe Halverson, Carolyn Blomberg, Tanya Albert, Max Malega, and Andy Katzung. I'll also be up at Huge on Sundays, March 24th, April 7th, and April 14th with Cubicle. And that's going to be with Kevin Albertson, Max Leibowitz, and Josh Awind. And you can see Philip on March 23rd. He's in a battle of the bands. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the final. So he has a chance to win some money. So get out there and support him because he's a darn good artist. Thank you. Please check us out on iTunes. Rate and review. Subscribe to our podcast so we can keep this thing going. Check us out next week on Next At Bat.
Next At Bat!